was wondering, like, you know, what these this combined with the efforts to defund Jack Smith and the other attacks on Biden administration officials say about, you know, the broader effort to discredit you and to discredit the Justice Department, and also how would you manage that? How are you resisting that, and what can you do about that as Attorney General?
We have to go about our work following the federal principles of prosecution. As I said, we follow the facts and the law. We screen out outside inappropriate influences. That's what we're doing here. We're protecting our ability to continue to do high-profile and sensitive investigations, and we will continue to do that.
So that is Merrick Garland, our Attorney General. He just inspires such respect and courage, doesn't he? But that that was an interaction after a statement he made after he was cited for contempt from our Congress for refusing to turn over the tape of a Biden interview with Robert Hur. So we're going to get into that today, but also the main thing we're going to get into with our discussion with Mike Howell is going to be, eventually, is going to be what Joe Biden is doing to corrupt our elections coming up. Something he did, an executive order he signed, signed back in 2024, very dangerous. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the justice system and respond to what Merrick Garland said in that presser while he was refusing to respond to the congressional order to turn over that tape of the interview of Joe Biden and Robert Hur. So it's not as confusing as it sounds, but it's information that you need to know. It's just one more reason why we have to work hard to make sure that Joe Biden never, never, never returns to the White House again. Kamala Harris shouts all the time about the right to abortion. Do you think she ever takes a minute to think about what does God think? Does Kamala think about God? Do these leftists think about God? Do they ever think about that? Did they ever think about how God feels about their love for this, their bloodlust, really it is, for the death of babies, that that's more important than anything else in their universe? I don't know. I think human sacrifice, of course, has been around since the beginning of time. The god of Moloch was an ancient Canaanite god associated with the sacrifice of children. And there were so many more. So the next question is, I think, is we need to take a moment to think about what God really does think. It didn't go well for civilizations who sacrificed their children. And it won't go well with us if we don't stop this. Preborn is leading the charge in this nation, rescuing babies from this horrific practice. Every day, their network of clinics sees 200 babies saved and given life. Once a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. So it's just $28 for one ultrasound. So I'm encouraging you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. And you know that you can call us. You do know this, right? Do you write this? You should write this number down so that when you hear something and you want to comment, you can call. It's 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can go on any podcast platform to listen to Sandy Rios 24/7. AFR, AmericanFamilyRadio.net is our home base. If you go to my website, sandyrios.com, you can also listen, and that's pretty easy. You can go to any social media platform, and there we are, too. Well, Mike Howell is our guest today. He's one of my favorites, and he'll join us in a second. He's the chairman. He's the director of the Heritage Oversight Project, watching all the things happening in Congress and holding their feet to the fire. It's pretty interesting, and you won't want to miss today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one. To the contrary, this is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk, these are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
Yes, he certainly is doing that, Sandy Rios, with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. That was the awe-inspiring voice and message from our Attorney General Merrick Garland. He is he's just doing all of the things that he's doing on facts and law, and that's it. And of course, this bluster was all about charges, actually contempt charges that are being brought by the Committee on the Judiciary and the Committee on Oversight and Accountability to Merrick Garland. Why? Because you might recall that President Joe Biden was interviewed by Special Counsel Robert Hur. And in that interview, Hur is the one who declared that Biden was just an old man, kind of confused and didn't have a good memory. And because of that, he wasn't going to bring an indictment. Well, what we got was a transcript from that interview, but the White House is known for altering written transcripts. And so these committees were requesting the actual audio. Well, I don't know what they think is on that, but our next guest might actually think that. His name is Mike Howe. Mike's been with us many times. He's really one of my favorite guests. I trust Mike's. Mike has a lot of experience, and I trust his judgment. He is the director of the Heritage Oversight Project. It was launched in January of 2022, and they have been working to try to get the committees, the Republican committees and the House, to do their job in oversight and have been supplying a lot of outside aid information, and we're going to get into some of that today on other issues besides this one. But Mike, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time always.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, so you heard that statement before I played it for you. So why is he blustering, and what is it that these two committees think might be in those tapes that wouldn't be in the transcript?
Right, so why is he blustering? A couple reasons. One, he knows the House of Representatives is impotent, and they aren't going to go to the mats and do not have the political fortitude to really get into this fight. And so that's kind of why he felt he had the room to go out and just say such absurd things. Now, there's quite a bit, so I'm going to focus on a few of what he said. The last thing he said upset me the most, claiming that he is somehow a victim of the American people disliking the fact that their Department of Justice and FBI have been turned into a weaponized Stasi against them. Merrick Garland is no victim. He is the perpetrator of the persecution. He is the worst attorney general in this regard in American history. I think his only contemporary comparison is probably looking to some third world countries that are, you know, overtly weaponized. He is a demagogue, and he has used the Department of Justice violently for political ends. So the idea that the American people not liking that is somehow a threat to him is absolutely absurd. Now, point 1A there is this is the least surprising thing in American history. This guy is a scorned man. He was not on the Supreme Court because of President Trump, and he hates President Trump and his supporters for that. And so the Senate placing this guy in charge of the guns and the badges and him going to this weaponized turnabout is the most predictable thing I've ever seen. I mean, we warned the Senate to this. I do not know what they were thinking. But, you know, during his confirmation, he got a lot of Republican votes. And he's also gotten kind of, you know, muted praise from a lot of folks, or, you know, omissions of even pointing out how weaponized he is. So he's doing this with a bipartisan backing. So remember that when you see a lot of these members and senators on cable news. Ask yourself, where were they when he was being nominated and confirmed? Because this is just the foreseeable consequence of a scorned man being put in a position of power. Now, the final point and the most important one is if you're interested in the tape coming out, the House of Representatives isn't the place to watch. We have them in federal court right now, the Heritage Oversight Project. We are miles ahead of the House of Representatives in this fight for the tape. Now, the arbiter of our claim will be the federal judiciary. The arbiter of the fight between Congress and Merrick Garland will be Merrick Garland. If they hold him in contempt for not turning over the tape, they'll basically send over a request that Merrick Garland criminally prosecute himself for contempt of Congress. That won't happen. Everyone remembers what happened with Eric Holder. Merrick Garland's not going to prosecute himself. So it's kind of a dead end at that point. And Congress, you know, her came in how many months ago? Why we're just finally getting to this place now is beyond me. We started the process immediately as soon as the report was dropped. So Congress is a day late and a dollar short per usual. And they missed the real grand scheme of the her report. Her basically did not investigate Joe Biden. The only thing that the American people are profiting from right now is the fact that Special Counsel Heard noticed what everyone else in this country already knows, and that's Joe Biden's not only too incompetent and senile to be president, but probably too incompetent and senile to even drive an Uber for many different reasons. What Heard did not do was investigate the president and his son and his family running an international pay-to-play scheme, massively corrupt, and entangled with foreign influence operations. So Heard gave him ultimately a get-out-of-jail-free card. So I put that all out there to paint the context, and we're going to get this tape out. The tape will not come out because of anything Congress is doing. It's going to come out because the Heritage Oversight Project is forcing them in federal courts in a forum in which there's actually a chance to get it out, unlike the kind of messaging circus we see on Capitol Hill.
Mike, now I alluded to a few minutes ago that there have been problems with the White House altering transcripts. I don't know that's happening on this, and I don't know if you do, but I guess, can you give us an idea of why you think that tape is so important?
Right, because this is a bombshell finding from the Department of Justice that the president can't stand trial because of his faulty memory, his age, his recollection, what have you. So the implications of that are severe. I mean, I say this, and I know it sounds funny, but imagine him with a foreign leader. If he can't remember what he said to a foreign leader, or a foreign leader is able to take advantage of the fact that, you know, Joe Biden doesn't have a short-term memory capability, that's a massive national security issue. And so the White House has contended with Heard's finding there. And we have the transcripts, which I think shows that he is senile and incompetent. But for the American people to arrive at that judgment fully, they should have access to the best evidence. And the best evidence is the recording of the interview, not just the transcripts, to hear for themselves and judge for themselves Biden's mental state. And that's exactly why they don't want to turn it over, because the tape is terrible. I am sure of it. So they're using the Department of Justice to prevent a political harm in a campaign season from occurring to President Biden. This is interference, election interference. It's campaign interference. And this is all playing out while President Trump is on trial in how many different forums? And cable news is running every last piece of it they can get to. So if there legitimately was a concern about the sensitivity of these prosecutions, explain to me why Biden and his campaign are covering the Trump trials.
Yeah.
Where is
their
concern there? It's just purely hypocritical.
No, I totally get it. I thought maybe there was another smoking gun, but that's enough of a smoking gun. And people do have to have it drilled home. We are in great danger. We think about how he's handling Israel, how he handled Afghanistan, the withdrawal. Those two things are public examples of his incompetence. And I think incompetence really is too kind of a word. But, Mike, I want to say a few more things about you. Mike has tremendous experience in investigating, and he's a bulldog, as you can hear that. He was in the Department of Homeland Security, where he was the chief legal point of contact for the 3,000 attorneys with Homeland Security. He also worked with Ron Johnson, one of my favorites, and Chairman of the House Oversight, Jason Chaffetz. He has a long history of investigations, and he does them well. And I would imagine, Mike, you got to be on some list somewhere. But I want to ask you, not a good list, I want to ask you a little bit about the follow-up. James Comer is still, as far as I could understand, they're still investigating the Biden family's finances. And here's just a short clip from Maria Bartiromo interviewing him. I want to play it for you and get your comments on where you think this is. This is clip one.
We believe we found new account. I don't think you would find very many people that have a billion-dollar net worth that have as many different bank accounts as this Biden family had. Many of these were shell companies, as you and I have discussed, Maria, companies that sole purpose was to launder the money that the Bidens were receiving from China, from Romania, from Russia.
Now that sounds like old information, but that was a recent interview he did with Maria. Is anything, are they still doing this? Are they still investigating and finding more things?
Yes, absolutely. I think Comer's the shining star of the House of Representatives. I mean, what he's done, which is categorically different than what anybody else has done, is that he's gone hard after the third party actors to mean the banks and the financial record holders and obtain those records, which proved the web of financial transactions and corruption for the Biden family. That is different than sending letters to Biden political appointees and then being upset when letters come back. He's actually getting things done. And I know a lot of people will point to the lack of an impeachment, and I'll get to that in a second, but here's the measure I look at. The public polling on knowing Joe Biden's corrupt has shot through the roof as a result of what Comer has done over time and continued to provide receipts for. Of course, CNN and others and the White House have, you know, tried to caricature him as kind of, you know, a fumbling, unsuccessful guy. But that is absolutely at odds with public perception on the Biden's family state of corruption. I will say point two there is he has not gotten the backing of the House of Representatives and his colleagues. His colleagues have kind of let him hang out to dry in his posts on numerous instances. I think if they had, you know, gone behind Comer with full force and speed, Biden would probably already be impeached for this, but they're unwilling to do that. Yes, on the new records and results, look, I think you're going to find more evidence that proves what's already been proven, and that's the president is essentially the target of a foreign influence operation and has personally enriched himself through that. There are some other shoes that are going to drop on this investigation. We have lawsuits now that are pointing to key vulnerabilities, I think, in Biden's defense. But it is a five-alarm fire right now. We've never had an American president who has been this compromised by foreign adversaries, to include the corrupt elements of Ukraine and the CCP. And so ultimately, the American people are going to have to decide for themselves in November whether that's how they want a country run. And by run, I mean run by the CCP and corrupt elements of Ukraine.
I want to talk about J6 and the Barry Loudermilk Committee. That's the new J6 committee for the Republicans. You know this is an important issue to me, Mike. We've talked about it. We had a Florida man who committed suicide. He wasn't in jail yet, but they added that extra enhancement that the Supreme Court is now trying to decide. I guess they've decided, but the announcement has not been made, that adds a felony in 20 years in many cases to these defendants who did nothing more than go into the Capitol and but they're charged with, hindering an official proceeding. But so now we've got this guy who killed himself. He's number five, as far as I can tell. We also had another guy arrested who did, well, I'll tell you, two that come to mind. I'll just mention this one. Brent Bozell, who was a good friend to me, founder of Media Research Center. He's a powerhouse in Washington. He's been one of those steadfast people, one of the few that I've known through the years. And his son has just been sentenced to 4 years. I can't go into the details of those, but I would just say that now the Justice Department, as you know, is arresting people at twice the rate they were a year ago. And they have actually sworn, I mean J6ers, they've actually sworn that they'd like to arrest one person a day between now and the end of the statute of limitations. And they're slapping on as many charges as they possibly can. So, Mike, as you see the Congress... I know nothing about what Barry Loudermilk is doing. It's not getting much publicity from my perspective. What are they doing to push back on this?
Nothing. I mean, they funded it. It was told to us and others at the very beginning of this Congress by very important people in this Congress that they would not touch January 6th, the Russian-influenced plots in Russiagate against President Trump, or, you know, fraud in the 2020 election. Those issue sets are determined to be bad for the brand of the Republican Party, as, you know, devised by pollsters who are establishment Republican types who have significant influence over not only the people we think to be in the establishment, but others that kind of have one foot in both, who were put out there to be seen as base warriors but really are the go-between between the base and the establishment, with, you know, the leash being held by the establishment. So nothing. The Congress is going to do nothing. And I've been yelling from the mountaintops, you know, for as long as I've been here in D.C., that we need to stop hoping for Congress to act. I think we generally need to accept that the ship has sailed, and the composition of the establishment Republicans here in D.C. is not a conservative one dedicated to actually fighting. I think the solutions often is in the states, even on this January 6th stuff. It's obscene to me that we're seeing compliance with state authorities and the FBI in this regard. And it really is the civil rights issue of our time, in that we have not seen a level of constitutional abuse like this. We have the Constitution being ripped to shreds by D.C. judges for speech-protected activity, with a clear comparison to the Black Lives Matter rioting that did billions and billions of dollars to this country, going completely unprosecuted. It is all for political purposes. They want to keep the J6 theme alive, and they're basically just, you know, bending and breaking every rule they can to not only put these people in prison, but to destroy their mental health and take away any hope, and you know, that results, predictably, in these suicides that we're seeing. So my heart goes out for them. My anger is not only with the weaponized Department of Justice for this civil rights abuse of our lifetime, but also the failure to protect these people, because they're deemed to be lower class, unworthy, and bad for the Frank Luntzes of the world, in the, you know, on the right side of the aisle, if we can even call them that. And so it's terrible. It's going to take years and years to undo the damage that's been done to the rule of law in this country. And it's very sad that the January 6th defendants were the scapegoats for that. And they're not stopping January 6th. The precedent's established here. They're going to be used to come after all of us for a long time.
Yes, I think so, too. It's what I try to say to our mutual friends. And this is going to be us. You know, we have to defend these people, because we're going to be in the same position in due course, as certainly if President Trump does not win in November. I want to, speaking of President Trump, I want to run this by you too, Mike. I know that I don't think this is part of your jurisdiction, but because I know what a thinker you are, and you're watching all of this, the Trump trial convenes again in New York this morning, and I think whatever his fame, and Mike Cohen is testifying again this morning. But Robert Costello, who is a well-known prosecutor, highly respected, as I understand it, in New York, said some very damning things, and I believe it was before the Oversight Committee. Let me play you clip. This is clip three, Adam. I want to play this for you, and please explain to us what's happening here. Let's listen.
I said, Michael, the way this works is, if you have truthful information about Donald Trump, that's clearly what they're looking for, I can have all your legal problems solved by the end of the week. His response, I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump.
All right, so that was Robert Costello's voice talking about a private, he was representing Michael Cohen for a time, and that's why, and then he was somehow, the lawyer-client privilege was lifted, and he began to speak. So what's going on? Why did Congress have him in, Mike? And so what's going on with that?
Right. So I think viewers are aware of the facts that, you know, what's going on in New York, this quote-unquote hush money trial, which really is an extortion attempt on the president for an affair that did not happen, and the porn star admitted it never happened. You know, as part of that trial, they're trying to present the things they think will play in the media as most hurtful to President Trump, and, you know, trying to ignore the stories of people like, you know, Costello, who can point to yet another instance in which Cohen was a serial liar, a big-time serial liar. And so that's what's happening. The message is getting out on that through any venue in which it can be heard. But the left wants us to do nothing more than focus on the fact pattern of this absurd, you know, Murder, She Wrote story that they're spinning up. They want us to just talk about Trump and Stormy Daniels in the same breath. And I kind of am refusing to do that, to be honest with you. I don't think we should play to their game, because I think what's really happening here is a misdirection. President Biden has a long and sordid history of sexual abuse. People forget that he broke up Joe Biden's marriage. Joe Biden was a campaign worker for him, and he broke up their marriage and had an affair with her. So it started early. He then was credibly accused of sexually assaulting a Senate staffer in Tara Reid. Credibly accused, and media kind of ignored that. We've put out interviews and evidence, and this has been out there for a while, that Joe Biden routinely skinny dips and expose himself to his female Secret Service agent detail, which is highly inappropriate. We've all seen the clips of him sniffing children's hair and hugging inappropriately. And it's just this long and sordid history, not to mention what also came out the last couple months. The Department of Justice admitting that his daughter's diary was real. They prosecuted someone for obtaining Ashley Biden's diary after she forfeited it. The diary had allegations that Joe Biden was showering with his young daughter, or his daughter, you know, late into her, you know, I don't know how old she exactly was, but at a time where it's clearly inappropriate, I think it's probably always inappropriate, but, you know, beyond the pale, and that she believed that he molested her. And so you have all this body of evidence against Joe Biden, and they're trying to do a misdirection by bringing up Trump and Stormy Daniels so people don't focus on that. And I think it's disgusting.
Well, I do too. I do too. And I think Robert Costello, I think, that was amazing to me, that testimony. Of course, I just played a little snippet of it. But he really did provide the discrediting of the whole story and of Michael Cohen. So we'll see if the defense calls him as a witness.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
The Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one. To the contrary, this is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk, these are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I've asked Bruce, the former part of the Justice Department, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is a part of the Justice Department. And Bruce, of course, was with them for 24 years, serving faithfully in a different time and place where the men and women of the FBI were chosen because of their character, because of their competence. The most trusted law enforcement agency in the country, no longer trusted because of a man like Merrick Garland and before him, Eric Holder. So, Bruce, I've asked Bruce, and plus Bruce is a prosecutor. He prosecuted crimes in Cook County, which is Chicago. So I know you have some thoughts. Remember, Merrick Garland is saying justice is the fundamental institution of democracy. and they do what they do without political influence. And they go to extraordinary lengths to respond to people in Congress for their requests, if they're legitimate requests. Okay, I know you have a lot to say, so go for it, dear heart.
You know, if this wasn't so important, you'd say, insert laugh track here.
Yep.
You know, we thought Karine Jean-Pierre could spin a tale. Boy, she's nothing compared to Merrick Garland. You know, this guy acts like a victim. Well, actually, the Department of Justice is in the business of helping victims, and he should be represented by the Department of Justice, not representing the Department of Justice.
That's the only true thing he said in that. When he said, "I'm here to protect the people in this building,"
yeah,
he said, "Well, that's
very,
true."
That's very telling, because he just let the cat out of the bag that this is all about protecting his turf. Yeah. This is not about justice. This is not about investigation. You know, it's laughable that he says, the Department of Justice is telling Joe Biden to exert executive privilege so that this tape of the interview between Joe Biden and Robert Hur will not come out. Well, the transcript of the tape has already come out. So if it's already out there in public knowledge, how is releasing the tape of it going to interfere with any kind of investigation? Unless they've altered the transcript. Otherwise, all the words are there. Anything that would be investigated because of it is already out there.
Now, he says, Bruce, that he just is, they do everything on the facts of the law. There was another adjective he used.
Yes.
But the something in the facts of the law. We are sure that we do what's right, and we prosecute every case on just the facts of the law. And they want to seek justice.
Yeah.
So I was just looking at Julie Kelly's report just a few days ago. I want to share a few things. She said, and you know, January 6th always comes up with me because it's really close to my heart. He said, Julie reports that FBI agents just last week arrested a man from Maine for his involvement in the events of January 6th. According to the Department of Justice press release, Lincoln Dimming spent about 30 minutes inside the building after entering through an open door with Capitol Police standing by. Dimming faces numerous charges, including civil disorder and the dreaded parading in the Capitol misdemeanor. And in a press release, the DOJ bragged about the government's scalp count for its unprecedented prosecution of January 6 protesters. More than 1,424 individuals have been charged in nearly all 50 states for crimes related to the breach of the Capitol. This is a cheering thing for them. They're so proud. This is the largest investigation the FBI has ever conducted. Bruce, I'll just stop to ask you, when you were in the FBI, do you know what the largest, what was one of the largest investigations that you participated in?
Well, of course, 9/11 was the largest, and also the Oklahoma City bombing was a huge one. But I can tell you this, there was never a number of scalps, a target number listed. You investigated and went where the facts took you, and you had to evaluate should someone be charged or not on their individual conduct. See, again, I've spoken about this before. This prosecution or persecution, whichever you want to call it, is about an agenda. It's not about what individual people did. Their rights are being trampled because people are being judged as part of a riot, is the way the Justice Department terms it, an insurrection. And anyone who did anything is an insurrectionist. Instead of looking at, okay, John Doe, he walked through the Capitol. He stayed 10 minutes, he did not damage anything, and he walked out. Okay, maybe he should be charged with parading, whatever the misdemeanor statute is. But because the Department of Justice needs to keep this alive,
scalps. They're trying to get more scalps.
They go ahead and overcharge these people, and then the Department of Justice comes out and brags about how many people they've arrested and how many people they've charged with these felonies. And they also love to say how many years people have pled guilty to or are looking at potentially facing if they plead guilty.
And the whole idea, of course, is to put such a taint, which they've managed to do, on Trump supporters. Remember, President Trump used to say, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. And so this is the eventual goal, and so they've managed to taint Trump supporters as insurrectionists. I mean, it's really, we've watched it before our own eyes. So I want to point out another contrast, though, Bruce, before we go on with that. Julie points out in her recent article, she has a blog post called Declassified Live. She says at the same time that the Department of Justice is arresting all these J6ers daily, they have a goal of arresting one per day. Bruce, that's, as you always said, that they follow the FBI traditionally has followed crimes, not just looking for crimes, arresting people and hoping to find something that they've done wrong. Yeah, it's crazy.
When you start setting goals, like we are going to arrest 2,000 people before the end of the statute of limitations, well, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to look for anybody, the Department of Justice is going to look for anybody that could be charged with anything, right. Even though if they were doing it the way the whole court system operates, again, I will say, under individual rights, and whether or not you as an individual have committed a crime. If you have not, if you were just there on January 6th, that is not a crime. It does not make you an insurrectionist. You should not be arrested by the FBI. But I'll guarantee you, if the Department of Justice gets against their deadline to arrest 2,000 people, they're going to go ahead and round up people that really have not committed crimes, but were just in the vicinity of the Capitol on January 6th.
Okay, so Julie goes on to report, at the same time, the DOJ refuses to bring federal charges against pro-Palestinian demonstrators who, in many instances, have engaged in similar, if not worse, conduct inside congressional buildings over the past 6 months. Yeah. All the cases stemming from arrests of pro-Palestinian protesters have been handled by a local D.C. prosecutor. Yeah. In other words, no federal obstruction of an official proceeding indictment has been entered against any of those Palestinian protesters who interrupted Senate and House hearings to protest the Israeli-Gaza war. No federal parading charges for demonstrators who unlawfully occupied government buildings in D.C. on multiple occasions. Even demonstrators who assaulted Capitol Police outside the DNC headquarters last November do not face federal charges. A shocking double standard.
It's amazing when you think about how the January 6ers were treated. Many of those guys were arrested within a week and were put into pretrial detention. And I remember telling you 3 years ago when I read the quote-unquote charging documents that they were being kept in custody under. And it basically was about they've committed thought police violations. They thought that the election in 2020 was stolen, and therefore they're going to be prosecuted as insurrectionists because you don't have a right to think that an election could be stolen, even though Hillary Clinton does it every time, after Democrat does it every election. But somehow the January 6ers were different.
Yeah, there are a million. There's these long clips, montages, I'm sure I've played them, of the Democrats having a fit in 2016, claiming that the election was stolen. But, of course, we're not allowed to talk about that for 2020. I laugh because it's so pathetic.
It is pathetic. I never thought that we would see this in our country.
I didn't either, Bruce.
When Mike talked about Merrick Garland being a scorned man, you know, there's an old saying, there's nothing worse than a scorned woman. But I'll tell you what, Merrick Garland is giving that standard a run for its money because he is so angry that he was kept off the Supreme Court and lawfully kept off because procedurally, you know, Mitch McConnell said we are not going to put forth his nomination for the Supreme Court because we're in a lame duck session and we're going to have a new president and the new president should be able to put up whoever he wants. And Merrick Garland has never forgotten it and he's never gotten over it.
You know, I believe that's true, but I also believe you would not go so far as he's going with this malpractice, this malevolent practice of the Justice Department if you were not personally already inclined to do things like this. You just didn't overnight turn into this. And I remember when he was being interviewed for various things. I think he was interviewed by the Congress to be a Supreme Court justice, I believe. He was so mild-mannered. He talked so nicely, you know, just so concerned. And he reminds me of all these Justice Department frauds who have paraded across that and said all the right things. Boy, these guys have the words down. But we're seeing what he's like, just like Joe Biden, who was like, oh, shucks, just this guy from, you know, this
Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's a hard-scrabble guy.
So I want to just close with one more thing, because these points of Julie's are good, and I think it just drives the point home, as I think it should be driven home. Now, in that clip of Merrick Garland, there are some follow-up questions, but they're fawning questions. They're fawning questions. I guess I should play one of them so you could see. This is clip six, just to give you an idea.
The acts now seem vanishingly small, that the two Jack Smith federal cases are going to begin trial, let alone finish trial, this year. What does that say about the pace of the justice system and confidence in this Justice Department?
Look, the special counsel brought both cases last year. He appropriately requested speedy trials. The matter is now in the hands of the judiciary, and I'm not going to be able to comment any further.
All right, so she's upset. The reporters are upset that they're not moving faster to prosecute Trump. That's what the question was. And so Julie has a bunch of suggestions. She said a real reporter would have asked Garland how many times the DOJ seeks pre-trial detention for political protesters accused of assaulting police, as the DOJ has done in dozens of J6 cases. A lot of those guys I interview are in pre-trial detention, never had a trial. I think of Jacob Lang, who's been there for, I haven't heard from him in such a long time. I honestly hope he's okay. The last time we talked, he was in New York, and he was actually begging for help because he was going to be isolated and was fearing for his life. Julie also says a real reporter would have asked Garland how often the FBI conducts armed raids of Americans accused of nonviolent offenses, as the FBI has done in hundreds of J6 cases and continues to do. A reporter would have asked Garland about the possibility the Supreme Court will reverse how his DOJ has applied a post-Enron statute against 350 or so J6ers, turning many otherwise nonviolent protesters into convicted felons. And she goes on. But Bruce, just some final words with you about the injustice of the Justice Department under Merrick Garland.
And I think you hit it. It should be called the Injustice Department right now. And Julie's points are, to me, right on the money. There has been such a weaponization, and I know people throw that word around all the time, oh, it's been weaponized, but think about this. Really, the Department of Justice is to protect people's rights and to make sure that no one is prosecuted for something that they don't have evidence against. And in this instance, again, this is an orchestrated offensive, really, against Trump voters, against Trump supporters, to try to keep you down
and afraid
mm-hmm. and afraid to go to any kind of gathering, afraid to fly a Trump flag, afraid to have a Trump bumper sticker. And it works. It works. I don't see very many of those things around, even in a very heavily Trump district. The softball questions from the press, you know, again, when the press does not do their job, democracy does not work, because we're becoming basically a pseudo government, media, and high tech juggernaut. We find that the government is using non governmental organizations, supposed charities, to do things that the government is prohibited from doing. In other words, like you go down to the border, these NGOs are helping people to come across the border illegally, and then when they get here in the United States, they're providing them with the means to seek welfare benefits, give them cell phones, direct them where to go,
plane tickets,
give them transportation, tell them how to vote, tell them we're going to text you the people that you should be voting for. And, you know, as Mike said, this is a very targeted operation.
You know, Bruce, it's just like they're doing with social media companies, you know, having these companies monitor people's correspondence and then just turn it over voluntarily. Phone companies, the same thing. Yeah, this is just going to be a big hydra, I guess we could say, to use a Greek term. It just reaches, the tentacles reach everywhere. And so I think this is a good, though, idea of what the Justice Department is doing now that we needed to talk about. And honey, thank you for joining me this morning. We're going to continue our discussion with Mike because they're working on another project that has to do with the Biden administration trying to get out the vote and encouraging people to vote using all the agencies across government. It really is a disaster. And the Oversight Committee, led by Mike, is investigating this right now. You can find out information by going to the Oversight Project. Go to heritage.org. Look at the Oversight Project, and you'll see all the things that they're doing. Well, okay, so we thank you for listening today. Honey, thank you for joining me, Mr. FBI.
I must say, I take no pleasure in unloading on the Justice Department. Really, it saddens me.
Yeah, I know that, honey. I know. I think people do know that. All right, well, you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us also the old-fashioned way at sandy@afr.net. You can go to any podcast platform and find Sandy Rios 24/7. And you can certainly go to afr.net. That's our home base. And go to the podcast section of American Family Radio there, afr.net. And you can find Sandy Rios 24/7. You can also go to my website. That's pretty simple. Go to sandyrios.com and you'll be able to listen with a great ease, we hope. Let me know if you can't. All right, we want to thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope learning has a benefit in its own. Sometimes we wish we didn't, know all the things that we know. But I just believe that there's power in information. And when that is filtered through wisdom, then that has a great outcome. So now you're equipped with some knowledge. So now let's apply the wisdom and see if we can do something to stop this. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.